Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I hope I'm not speaking too fast for you. If I am, I'll meet you in the middle. You speed up your brain a little bit, and I'll slow down my jaws. How's that? That's an inside joke. I've got a great show lined up for you tonight, and this is kind of a celebration for me. I'll get into that in a moment. I have a few shout-outs I want to give to Barbara in Southern California. Was kind enough to email me, and I mentioned her email last night. And I hope, Barbara, that you are listening to the archives and that the chemtrails are disappearing as we speak. Also, I'd like to give a shout-out to Leona in Texas. She has been following some of my research, and she tells me that it goes along with some research that she did for a number of years in England, biblical research that centers around Moab, and she sees a parallel to the Bush clan. And so I'm appreciative of her work and her research. In fact, she's going to be sharing some with me. And she's waiting with bated breath for the news that's going to be coming out in the next edition of the Idaho Observer. And that's about the Three Stooges, who are trying to go to Washington. Some incredible revelations are going to come out in that article. And I'm going to sort of synopsize everything that I have discovered with the current events, and you can determine for yourself if it makes any sense at all. And I'm still trying to figure out the one about Barack Obama being related through some African blood to the Bush family. I didn't realize the Nazis made it to Kenya, but nonetheless, I had to reference that. Our guest tonight was on Evident Footprints when I first started out. In fact, he's very instrumental in my getting into internet radio, alternative media broadcasting. And I appeared on his show on Republic Broadcasting for a number of months back in 2007, where we talked about the Wantagate case and, of course, the research I just referenced on the Bush family. And many other things, and I think tonight he'll admit that some of the predictions that I made have come to pass, or many researchers have agreed with the information that I and others have brought forward as we're learning the truth and figuring out what this game is all about. He has his own show still on radio, on internet radio, and I understand now that it's being picked up by lots of micro broadcasters and satellite as well. He's with Republic Broadcasting Network, and his show is called The American Awakening. He also has his own website called theamericanawakening.org. And with that, I would like to bring on to Evident Footprints for the second time, and in a long time, my good friend Michael Herzog. Michael, good evening.
Good evening, Don Nikoloff. How are you, my friend?
Excellent. I'm excited about tonight's show because I know we're going to be all over the place.
Well, I don't know about that. You can keep me in line and try to stay on one topic if you'd like.
Well, I'm just as guilty at that as you, so I'm not putting the blame anywhere.
No, as a talk show host, and I know you're familiar with this, you know, you let a guest go off, and they can go in 16 different directions, and once in a while you just kind of have to reel them in, you know?
Yeah. Well, we're not going to do any commercial breaks tonight unless either one of us runs out of breath or runs out of words. So we're going to make good use of the time. The great thing about this show is we can pretty much roll all the way through without being interrupted. And keeps you on your toes. Of course, we may get some calls, the listeners sometimes, this is what they tell me in emails and what have you, that they find the show so riveting at times, so shocking at other times, that they just want to take it all in, and they don't choose to interfere with the dialogue that's going on. So we're going to touch some different areas, and no holds barred. We're not censored here. So we can pretty much talk about anything on our minds.
Well, would you like to share what's on your mind, or shall I start?
Well, right now I've got some Sony headphones on my mind, clamping down on my ears. Oh, man, there's just so many things. You know, this dog and pony show that they're calling a federal presidential election campaign is absolutely ridiculous. I referenced the bloodlines and these cockamamie stories that are coming out that they're related to everybody but Joe E. Brown and Ed Sullivan, as far as I can see. And you remember Joe E. Brown, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. Here again, I'm going to give away my age.
Oh, and they'd show you down his throat, too, wouldn't they? Soft palate and all.
Yeah, but, you know, looking back on it in retrospect, nostalgically speaking, those were the good old days, my friend.
Oh, yeah. But I think that was the beginning of the brainwashing that has really ramped up quite a bit today. What's your take on what's going on with this election for our listening audience?
Well, I think, you know, we're going to have if it comes to an election, first of all, I think we're going to have the choice between doo-doo, caca, or feces, pretty much. You know, they're all owned, they're bought and paid for. They're all licking the boots of, some Zionist factions there. And, you know, I've gone down the rabbit hole and taken all three of these candidates apart. They all have skeletons in their closet, and their closets, I'm sure, are pretty large, or they'd have to be to hide the respective skeletons. At any rate, you know, the change that Obama wants is nothing more than a little change in his pocket, ultimately more of the same. Hillary Clinton looks like she may be fading into the abyss, but she really doesn't want to give up yet. John McCain on the other side of the aisle, you know, this guy has got some serious skeletons in his closet, going back to the USS Forrestal and his hot starting his jet and almost sinking an aircraft carrier, not to mention his debacle over there with the POWs in Vietnam. So, you know, we could spend an hour just on that. The bottom line is, unless there is a major upheaval, unless your article gets out that you're about to release shortly on the Three Stooges, Don, and it gets to a point where a lot of Americans happen to pick it up and read it and give some thought to it, not much is going to change, and we're in for more of the same. It's all warmongering. There's an agenda behind it, as you know. They're beating the war drums for Iran, and none of these three candidates is going to change the existing direction.
Yeah. Well, referring back to your reference of doo-doo, caca, and feces.
Oh, yes. Let's expound on that. Go ahead.
I think the cash that you were describing could also be called bunwad, couldn't it?
Now, this is a family show, Don.
Oh, no. This is...
Let's not go too deep here.
Well, this is a... if we can make the people listening to the archives laugh... will have accomplished something. You know, yeah, it's an interesting thing. I took the words deathbed confessions, and the first article to come up is my Scherf article, the one on the
book. And I was going to commend you for that, by the way. Because I wanted to touch on, I did an interview today, played an interview with Naomi Wolf, who wrote the book The End of America, and there's some parallels that I wanted to make if we had time during the show regarding, you know, your article, because you've basically proven beyond any reasonable doubt, and I believe it's been, correct me if I'm wrong, verified now that George H.W. Bush is actually George Scherf.
That's
who
correct.
Who is a Nazi. Okay?
That's correct.
Uh-huh. And I wanted to make some parallels here with Naomi Wolf's book, The End of America, with the 10 factions that lead a nation from a democracy, if you will, or I like a constitutional republic better because that's the lie they fed us when we were in school, to transcending into a fascist nation, which all 10 of these respective, items that go along with changing the country from a republic into a fascist or a communist nation, pick your poison, are paralleled with what happened in Nazi Germany back in the early 30s. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, in reference, and I got to hear the interview, by the way. It's an excellent interview. And you also spoke with Walter Burian today.
He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
Wasn't he a funny guy?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Substituting for John Stadtmiller's National Intel Report. You did 4 straight hours of radio, and you should be commended on that. That's difficult. I did it once, my first time on RBN, in fact, and it's not an easy feat. So, especially when you're not prepared for your guest. You know the material.
You have to have rubber lips, Don. That's what it is.
Yeah. But what I wanted to bring up is the things that I have discovered. You want to catch these people in lies? I'm talking major lies here. I'm talking major lies that have centered around all the affection garnered to Obama. I've got a mind blower that's going to be in this story. Mind blowing.
And you keep telling me this, but you won't share it with
Oh
me,
no, I can't. I can't spoil the article. And I don't want to rock the boat for them. You know, I want to let them garner as many delegates as they can, because these people are all going to have egg on their face when this is done. I guarantee.
Well, I can't wait, because maybe Ron Paul will step to the forefront then, because he's the only man qualified that knows what's going on in the financial situation with the Federal Reserve to be in the place of running for president. This man is the only man, and I'm not saying he could do it alone, but this man could straighten out this country, appointing the right people as in his cabinet and so forth, but he's the only man qualified to be president right now.
Yes, I'm in agreement. So we're going to see some things pan out in the coming months, I can guarantee you. And I'm just wondering who's next in line. Is it going to be a baseball player or football player? I guess somebody's going to claim a genetic link to LeBron James before this is over. And it's most likely going to be Hillary, I would say. Just because she thinks everything's a slam dunk.
Well, you give her credit for one thing. She doesn't give up easy.
No, but there are just too many facts coming out. Of course, in fact, today I had the opportunity to listen to one of my older archives where I had John Klar and Doug Kogan on the show. Now, Doug is a film producer known as Doug from Upland, and he was on my show. Oh, I think it was around March 24th of this year, and he talked about the Peter Paul case, this $1.2 million contribution that Peter Paul made to Hillary Clinton's 2000 senatorial campaign.
I believe that's going to trial in October the election.
That's right, and it was really interesting for me to hear this. I listened to it today. And it brought back all the little details about this case. Certainly something that will be incorporated into the Hillary version of the Three Stooges article that I'm writing.
The Hillary.
Yeah, we have McCurley, and then we have Mo Bama is the second part, and then Hillary is the third. The third part of the article.
When is this coming out?
The first piece is coming out mid-month.
If I recall, you did this to me last year before you released the article on George H.W. Scherf, you know.
Well, it was on the Jeff Rentz show when Jeff wanted me to deliver the punchline on the show, and I just told him, it's not fair to the readers of the Idaho Observer, first of all. And then we wanted to make sure that we got the whole piece up, because it's a pretty strong piece. And, of course, I went into the Federal Reserve, which is still an issue, still a major topic, and Nikola Tesla, and then the Nazi connection. And I got really inside, and none of that can be disproven whatsoever. I mean,
nor can it be talked about on the air before it comes out in the Idaho Observer. So why are we talking about this? You see, you build me up. You build me up here, okay, only to let me down, because you're not going to give me any punchlines.
Well,
Larry or Curly.
Have you subscribed to the Observer yet?
No, I haven't, as a matter of fact. But you know, I probably could, you know, twist your arm and pull you up on my show to disclose it once it hits the paper.
Oh, yeah, I would be happy to do that. But okay. I have the feeling I'll be on a lot of shows. And we have a right to know these things. You know, we have a basic law in our country that you have to be born in America. You have to be a born American citizen to run for the presidency. It's in the Constitution.
Right.
And if they don't like that law, they should change it like the other 23 million or so laws that they've created. The problem is they think they've got everybody hoodwinked, and I've exposed it. So we won't tease any more than that tonight. But it's worth mentioning because all this other stuff is just pure, as you called it, doo-doo, caca, and feces.
Mm-hmm. Or you could use excrement. Throw that in there if you'd like. I don't
oh,
care.
Yes. Or bowel movement. Or
yes. Well,
it's silly.
But it really is. It's a sad state when, you know, and if you look at this, this isn't anything new. I mean, you know, what's the odds of 290 million people back during the 2000 election where you had a choice of voting for either John Kerry or George Bush, who were both cousins, both members of Skull and Bones, okay? I mean, if that doesn't tell the mind-numbed Americans, not your listeners, of course, but I'm talking about the Kool-Aid-drinking Americans that watch Fox News, if that doesn't tell them that this whole thing is premeditated and is arranged beforehand, then I don't know what would.
Yeah, well, I think you're referring to the 2004 election, actually.
Oh, was it 2004? Oh, that's
yeah.
Right. He ran against Al Gore in 2000.
Yeah,
that's
that
right.
That was
I'm
the
sorry.
Stolen.
I was still sleeping then.
That was the gift from Catherine Harris, the Secretary of State of Florida.
Right. Yes.
Where Brother Jeb was the governor.
Uh-huh.
So those may just be coincidences. You know, I don't think Jeb actually had anything to do with it.
Of course they were, Don. Now, come on. Don't be a conspiracy theorist.
Okay, so...
Speaking of that, you know who the new governor is? Governor Chris down there. And Geraldo Rivera just last week came out and agreed that Deborah Jean Palfrey, her suicide should be investigated. And coincidently, right after Geraldo said that, do you know that Governor Crist's airplane had to turn around in Alabama and go back to Florida the other day because his ailerons, not his ailerons, but his rudder and his yoke and his autopilot all failed in the airplane at the same time? Isn't that coincidental? Another coincidence.
Yeah, that's interesting. Very interesting. And what airport did he leave? Do you know? Are you privy to the details, or?
No, I don't know. It was reported in the Orlando paper, so it had to be an airport close to there, I imagine.
Okay. Well, it'd be interesting. Maybe we can look into that a little more. It wasn't Essex County, though, I'm sure.
I don't know. What are you going to tell me about Essex County now?
Oh, well, that was JFK Jr. That's the airport he flew out of.
Oh, you know, it's interesting. I just got an email tonight from one of my listeners talking about the JFK, and then he was talking about, remember, the 1966 airplane crash with Ted Kennedy. Remember
mm-hmm.
that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I didn't. So he wrote me this whole grandiose, you know, like an encyclopedia of all the details of this. And then he said, well, you know, and that didn't get his attention. I think he broke his back or something like that. That didn't get his attention. So right shortly after that was Chappaquiddick. Okay, and then after that, he turned into a big left-wing, you know, boot kisser. So, you know, whatever you can make out of that. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to get off track.
Well, you had mentioned the governor of
Florida.
So right. I just find that interesting. It's, you know, we should pay attention to these things. And when we see them occurring, we should let our listeners know because
we're not going to hear... Well, I know, but excuse me a minute. Let me get up and walk over here and put my tinfoil hat on, all right?
I thought you were wearing it. You promised me you would wear it from the onset of the show. Oh, my God.
I mean, you've got to laugh about this stuff, though, really, because if you didn't laugh, you'd cry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it really is. It's tragic. What's happening here, what really concerns me, and I'm trying to rope you back into where I was going here, but what really concerns me is that the majority of the American people, even though there's this gut feeling inside that something is wrong, they still don't get it because they're so busy watching Fox News, you know, and American Idol.
Yeah.
And you know, Senator Karen Johnson here in Arizona just came out a couple of weeks ago, and she stood up, and this gutsy lady had the temerity to stand up and call 9/11 for what it was, an inside job. And now there's all these hit pieces coming out in all the Maricopa County papers about they're glad she's not running for re-election because we don't need anybody like that in office and so forth. And I read one of these commentaries written in the East Valley Tribune by one of these dumbed-down Kool-Aid-drinking Americans, and I ripped him to shreds on my show today. It just makes me sick. But what makes me sicker is the fact that these people are too apathetic to actually peel away the onion, go down the rabbit hole a little bit, because it doesn't take much, Don, to realize that everything that we're being told is a lie, okay? And it's for a bigger agenda, you know? So I just thought I'd get that out there. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, their motto is the end justifies the means. Now, you had mentioned Miss Palfrey, the madam that ran the big prostitution ring or escort service, as they like to call it, because it makes it sound like they're going to the ball, basically.
Well, they are, aren't they? Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. For the listeners, she was found hung, and it was ruled a suicide. And, of course, there was a very recent interview recorded where she flat out, I can't remember if that was on the Alex Jones show.
Yes, Alex Jones has it on record, yes.
Yes. She said, you know, if anything happens to me, I want it to be known that I have no intentions of committing suicide.
Right.
And this is usually the case for people that are going to take a stand. She had incriminating evidence, probably could have brought the whole of Congress, the Senate, and the mainstream media down in one fell swoop.
Oh, she had some major players with her phone numbers, and I can name some names, because Wayne Madsen came on the other day on Jones's show and was naming names. Dick Cheney, Rudy Giuliani, just a couple of them to toss out there. But what's interesting is, you know, she committed – how many women do you know that have committed suicide by hanging? You know, they take pills. They don't hang themselves. And Brandy Britton, one of her employees – did the same thing last year, okay, supposedly hung herself, committed suicide. And now all of a sudden, Deborah Jean Palfrey comes out. She just announced just 2 weeks prior that she would never commit suicide, and then they turn around and say she committed suicide, and they've got a pundit that comes on and says, yeah, I talked to her last year, and she told me she was upset and she was despondent, didn't want to go to prison, she was going to commit suicide. Just hearsay evidence, okay, but all of the evidence points to the fact that she was suicided. At least from what I can get. Of course, I got my tinfoil hat on my head. You have to understand that. But, you know, that being said, you know, she wrote 2 suicide notes. Now, how many people write 2 suicide notes?
Yeah, and it's probably in different handwriting, too.
Well, the letters didn't match up, and the owner of the apartment complex or the townhouses where she lived, you know, the guy that gets her checks every month, okay, compared it, and he came right out and said, no, that's not her handwriting. But what's, you know, another thing that's interesting about this is the former governor, Elliot Spitzer, was involved in this because you know that they took him down because this big scandal came out with him, you know, buying hookers, right? And what's interesting is, what was it, not more than 2 months ago, they brought him down for this dastardly deed of buying hookers, which everybody in the White House does evidently now that it's coming out. Yet this guy was just getting ready to investigate Larry Silverstein's shady deal with the lease of the World Trade Center 6 weeks before it was imploded by a demolition. And, you know, come to find out that this guy's name was on the list, too.
Now, that's funny. So
small world, isn't
it? Was there any mention of cross-dressing Rudy actually having been in drag? Or?
Well, no, they didn't say anything about that. But and I had the list here, too. Let's see. It was Dick Cheney, Rudy Giuliani. Oh, John McCain was in there. Also Fred Thompson and a couple of heavyweight lieutenants in Kellogg, Brown, and Root, and Halliburton. Of course, we know they run sex slave rings. Cynthia McKinney, you know, brought that out and grilled Donald Rumsfeld in a congressional hearing on that shortly before they took her down. She hasn't been reelected because they ran her out of office. She was getting too close to the truth. But besides that, okay, should I change hats yet?
Oh, not yet. You made a remark that women don't commit suicide by hanging themselves and they take pills. And I would suggest probably an alternative for those that aren't, you know, that are more body conscious would probably take themselves out by listening to Liberace reruns or something like that. But Anyway.
I don't know. It could be said that, you know, if you listen to too much of Rush Limbaugh, you could do the same. I don't know.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, so is there going to be an investigation now, or is this just all swept under the rug as far as...
Well, it just depends on what kind of airplanes Governor Crist gets in next time.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, they sent a message to him, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Do you know what the odds are against the yoke or the steering wheel of an airplane, plus the rudder pedals and the autopilot all going out at the same time? You know what the odds are against that?
Probably greater than Al Gore becoming president in a fair election.
Well, I don't have a clue. But being a pilot, I will say that in all the time I've flown, and all the pilots that I know, and all the people that I've flown with, I have never, ever heard of that happening, okay? Because they're on separate cables,
mm-hmm.
okay? They're on separate electronics.
Mm-hmm.
So the odds of that happen, I would say to voice it would probably be 1,000,000 to 1 at least.
Well, they
all
do.
Free.
Yeah, they do pre-flight instrument checks and everything anyway, don't they?
Sure.
I mean that
oh, yeah.
that stuff is just your rudder.
It was a subtle warning to Governor Crist not to investigate the suicide. Now, that's my take on it, but then I'm wearing a tinfoil hat, so there you go.
Was there any mention of Barney Frank? No.
No, but I'll tell you what. You know, what I want to know is, where's the box? She had a box she took to her mother's house full of documents, and I'm assuming that it probably had all the phone numbers and all the names in it. She was getting ready. She knew she was going to prison. You know, the story had it, she was going anywhere from 2 to 3 years to maybe 5 or 6 years. She was a multimillionaire already. She was planning on moving to Germany. Okay, at some point in time, she was probably going to take all that information out of the box, publish a book, or it was going to be published in some newspaper over in Europe, and the powers that be, some of these people that were implicated in this, could not have allowed that to happen, so they took her out. That's just my theory.
Well, you know what? It might be interesting to see if her bank account was frozen, because I had heard that she had actually already left for Germany, or was there in Germany. So if that didn't happen after...
I believe she rented an apartment in East Berlin.
Hmm.
And she was getting ready to leave and go over there and take her stuff or something like that. I'm a little fuzzy on that one.
Yeah, but it'd be interesting to see if her bank account was frozen because, you know, they would try to cripple her ability to leave and pay, you know, to have things shipped there and pay for a ticket and what have you. And, or, you know, frozen credit cards, whatever, because that's mm-hmm. how they work. It'd be interesting to see if that actually occurred. Really would.
Well, you go. All right, well, I'll give you that job. You go down that rabbit hole.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm working on too many other things. Put your tinfoil hat on. Take care of it. Well, let's see. So that's the Washington news. Now, I heard now they're pumping another story about Britney Spears, of course. They've milked her dry. There's nothing more that...
Are they still talking about her? I threw my TV out the window a year ago. I don't know.
They started something new, and I just did a quick check. I was channel surfing to see if I could catch Lou Dobbs, but I was too late. And Nancy Grace came on, and now she's trying a case. You know, this is what she does. She tries these cases on the news now. Headline mm-hmm. news is now it's taken the place of court TV. And they alluded to a former contestant from American Idol that text messaged a 12-year-old boy. Okay, this is a male contestant text messaging a 12-year-old boy to have some kind of liaison, and they're already trying the case on TV. I mean, the brainwashing level is somewhere near the description you gave earlier. I mean, These people are just, they have to all be on drugs or something. That's the only thing I can think that.
Are you talking about the pundits? Or are you
yeah,
talking about
yeah,
the,
actually,
yeah.
yes,
okay.
I am. I mean, that they would get this approved by the news directors and the producers and the editors.
Yeah, but Don, come on. You know, I mean, this is, and who was it, Dan Rather, that even admitted this, is that, you know, they have shifted the entire format of the news on corporate mainstream media to entertainment. And, you know, Nancy Grace trying this case on TV, and I didn't even know about that. Have they kicked this guy off the air yet? Or, I mean,
I think he's already out of the competition. But, you
okay.
see, they have to sensationalize it by attracting it or associating it with American Idol that has some 65 million people, according to their figures, you know, who are voting for these people in the,
right.
in the finals. So
well,
it makes big news, you know.
Yeah, but see, what they do that to sway public opinion. Now, I remember, and let's go back to the O.J. Simpson trial when I was still a dumbed-down American. I remember, what did that trial go on, 6-7 months? You know, and this is back in my former life when I was I was in the insurance business, and I remember being glued to my TV. I just blew off work for 6 months. I was glued to the TV with my mother and my wife, okay, for 6 months, day after day, watching Judge Alito and all these, you know, theatrics that were going on. And it was all a diversion. I didn't know that then. I thought that was the greatest thing since sliced bread, you know, watching O.J. Simpson go on trial. But it's, again, you know, they're swaying public opinion while diverting them from what's actually going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
See? Yeah. That's why I threw out my TV, Don. I'm not diverted anymore. Go ahead.
Now, but you did buy another one, didn't you?
Just actually, I did. I did, but it's not hooked up. Well, it's just for DVDs. I watched a brilliant DVD on Ernst Zundel. Just the other day, you know, I plugged the TV in, I put it in there, and fascinating story about that poor gentleman. You know, that all he did was want to, you know, he's a Holocaust revisionist. He's not saying that the Holocaust didn't happen. He's just saying that certain elements that are being reported for 60 years from the Holocaust didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But that's the story for another day. I won't go there tonight. Yeah, well, I could do a whole show on that one, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah. That, you see, that's all related to this whole plot, which is unfolding right now. And it had everything to do with the money laundering that went on with all these Illuminati banking families and the Bank of England. And they just created such chaotic history that it's difficult for anyone to discern what the truth is until you actually stop for a minute, you know, get off the bus and look at it from the outside.
Really?
You know,
yeah. I know.
I mean, it's like organized socialist transportation. They come out with a story and they just feed it to everybody and no one ever questioned it. Well, you know, probably the internet has a lot to do with that because people, are not going to be able to find the books in the libraries like they used to in the old days. You know, you could go to the library for 8 hours a day when you were in college and do your research and just for your subjects, you know, just for the courses that you're taking. Anymore, you have to special order a book if it's even available from another library in another city, and it might be on a 2 or 3 month waiting list. So the internet is a source for information because people say, hey, I can't find this book in a library anywhere. This book is out of print. This book has been banned. This book is unavailable because they took them all off the streets and out of the libraries. Does anybody have a personal copy? They make a PDF of that particular topic. They put it on the internet. Anyone can get it. And now we all get crash courses in the propaganda because we compare what's being said today. And they think we're too stupid to look back to see what's been written about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, really, that's what's going on.
Yeah, no. Yeah, go ahead.
And in the case of research, I mean, when I started doing this, you know, writing about this stuff, personally, I'm interested in finding the truth. It's not that I have this passion for digging up the facts, but I came to love digging up the facts when I found that I could find them despite the propaganda, despite the fact that many
of
the...
Oh, come on. You just enjoy trashing people. That's what it is.
Okay, you can take off the tinfoil hat now.
All right, go ahead.
So, in the process, what I discovered about research is I would read the works of so-called world-class researchers, world-class historians. And I started to realize, wait a minute, this research doesn't match to what's written in the history books. It's not matching the official biographies. It's not matching the autobiographies. And in fact, autobiography is almost a pun about what it is. It's like, you know, mail order. These people don't have to tell the truth, and they think because everybody's going to lick their boots because there's something special about them that we should just buy whatever crap they want to put out for us. And I became very resentful of the amount of lying that I was seeing going on, the amount of misrepresentation. It's always about controlling people, maintaining some kind of power base, and making money. That's all it's about. So when you can trace the money, and that's the first thing I did. If you look at my first piece, what was it? It was on Wantagate, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I was tracing the money. And as I traced the money, I thought, well, if the money can be traced, maybe the people can be traced. And I found a way to do that. And that's the part that that people appreciate, is that you can reveal the truth by revealing who these people really are. That has everything to do with why they are where they are. We blindly accepted false history and just outright lies, and these people are nothing more than puppets and charlatans. Maybe charlatan is too nice of a word for them, actually, because a charlatan, by and large, works on their own. These people are puppets and charlatans at the same time, working for bigger charlatans. And it demonstrates that everybody has a price, at least with these people, as lofty as they would like us to believe they are, and as pure as they think their bloodlines are. You know, you could pick the funkiest smelling trough in the oldest football stadium in the country and find pure liquid there than you would the bloodlines of these people. That's how filthy they are and how corrupt they are. So I don't mean to be so descriptive.
Well, you're painting a wonderful picture here in my mind. Go ahead, continue.
But I'm just making the point that what does it take to wake people up? You know, this is proven now, okay, on the Bush family. They're phonies. Their name is not Bush. Why can't people grasp that idea? Okay, when you find out that McCain's name is not really McCain and Obama's name is not really Obama.
Oh, my gosh, you're starting to give it away.
Oh, well.
The Three Stooges are coming out.
Oh, no, I'm not even scratching the surface.
Okay, go ahead.
Or when you find out that these people are not born where they say they're born, okay, and their relatives are not who they say they are, at least the way they laid it out for us, what does it take to wake up? Some people say, well, what does it matter? They're in power. Well, they were allowed to, you know, that's like saying, well, you know, this guy broke into this bank. The bank was closed. The vault was locked. They dug a tunnel underneath the bank and dug up through the floor, shut off all the alarms. Well, they got in there and they got the money, and we know who they are. But since they got away and didn't get caught in the act, we should just allow it to go on. Where do we draw the line?
Well, Don, look.
Insanity and sanity.
Don, look, you know, they have a mechanism in place, and it's called corporate mainstream media. And they have been propagandizing the American people since, what, World War II? Okay. We have a very, very difficult task in front of us. I mean, you're awake, I'm awake, your listening audience is awake, and all the time there are new people coming in out of curiosity, a lot of skepticism, but eventually, if they have the initiative, they start to do their own research, you know, dig below the surface a little bit, and they start finding out that what we're saying is true. Now, that's what creates a captive listener. There are people that come on, they'll listen once or twice or three times, and they'll never listen again because it's too easy for them to throw the covers over their head or bury their head in the sand, because it's easier to live in denial than face the truth, because the truth is really horrific. And as I've said many times before, you know, we're awake, but we live in a twilight zone because we're not in the same reality that the mind-numbed, hypnotized, mesmerized American lives in. And I joke about this, but the truth of the matter is, when we go out to wake somebody up and we actually wake them up, what we're doing is we are welcoming them to our respective nightmare, of which, now that we can't unlearn what we've already learned, we have to deal with it, we have to live with it, and there's only one way we can go, and that's forward in waking these people up. But in doing so, and I've asked myself this question several times, you know, I'll meet somebody, and they're a very nice, naive individual or whatever, and I said, do I really want to lay this stuff on them? Because if I get them going and they find out, are they going to kiss me or kick me?
Yeah, well, usually the eyes glaze over, and that takes care of everything.
And then you don't have to worry about it, right? But it's that 1 out of 10 or 1 out of 15 their eyes don't glaze over, you know? Then you start questioning yourself. Well, you know, how much should I feed this person before they short-circuit and go on overload? Because, as you know, there's so much to learn, and we're still learning. You know, just when I thought that I could be shocked out of my reality, something else comes along that just makes that one pale by comparison, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that this article you're going to come out with about the Three Stooges is going to do the same thing to me that you did last year.
Oh,
you know?
This is even better. And
I can't take it.
I don't mean to sound boastful. Believe me, I've had some of the most incredible days in the close to 34 years that I have been researching. 34 solid years. And not all in this area. Just many, many things. People often remark that they like the variety of topics that I cover on this show. That's what my life has been about. I've had a rich experience just in my profession, in music. I've had a really rewarding and fantastic career, and it's not over yet either. But in the meantime, I've culled some gifts. I've refined them, honed them down, and found that I've been impulse by spirit to move in this direction, and it happens to be falling in sync with what's going on in the rest of the universe. This is not a localized event that's singular and standing out in on its own, you know, out in the cold, in the snow, in the rain, in the wind, and with me being naked. There's a shift and consciousness going on throughout the whole universe, and this is really the basic stuff right here. But it's a vehicle to awaken people to the reality and the illusions. The reality is that we're living in a world of illusions, and these are masters at illusion. But
mm-hmm.
but basically, it'd be as if I had written a book and said, this is how David Copperfield is making the elephant disappear.
Well, now, Don, but this is your calling. Okay, and you allude to this. The thing is with corporate mainstream media, they mesmerize people. But there's a book that came out years ago by a woman, and she's deceased now. Her name was Lynn Grabhorn. It's called "Excuse Me, Your Life Is Waiting," and it goes into detail about we all vibrate on certain wavelengths, you know. And the fear mongering, fear is a negative vibration, and it causes a human being's vibrational wavelength to lower down. Okay. Whereas joy, love, peace, all of the positive accolades cause your vibrational wavelength to go up. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the powers that be, they realize this. Okay. So they're constantly emitting this negative fear-mongering stuff through the airwaves to keep the consciousness level of the dumbed-down public down low. Because as you know, when you start finding out and you start breaking free of those bonds, your consciousness automatically elevates, and it expands as much as you want it to.
And you bring others up with you.
Absolutely, yes.
And in some cases, it's just waking someone up and leaving, you know, leaving someone else's work to do that job. I'm not after awakening everybody, but I was one that was asleep like everyone else, and I woke up, and more people woke up. And as they were waking up, we all realized we were awake, and we started on a conversation, and we started reviewing the illusions, and we decided we weren't going to accept them any longer. Now this,
I mean, you woke up, what, 34 years ago? I woke up, too. I mean, I was Rip Van Winkle, for crying out loud, right? I mean, I've been sleeping for a long time.
Well,
I just woke up about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago.
Well, my process began 34 years ago, but I could look back at my... And I can see things that happened in my childhood that were leading me to this. And you and everyone else, all the listeners can probably do the same thing, that the experiences we had in our life didn't mean what they mean to us now. Because we can look at those times. You often hear people say, oh, what I would give to have the good old days back again. Well, all you have to do is remember what the good old days were about. But you also have to realize that this stuff was going on then, too. It was not as matured as it is now. It wasn't as intense and ramped up at high velocity.
It wasn't as in your face with the hubris and the arrogance as it is now. These people now are so arrogant that, I mean, literally the curtain has come down and they've figured out they've got the game locked now. I mean, they've got a complete parallel set of laws on the books just with Patriot Act Section 802, where at the president's whim he can declare any American an enemy combatant, strip him of all their rights, and throw him in a dungeon, for crying out loud. Okay, once you've got that where you've got selective enforcement, now you can become arrogant because you know you can get away with anything.
Well, the difference, yeah, that's true in the sense that they believe that that's their end all to the whole thing, but they still haven't accounted for God. They haven't accounted for the Creator and what the Creator is capable of doing. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying we should be sitting around waiting for a Savior to come here and put an end to this. We have been given the power to do it ourselves. And God is allowing us that opportunity now to take that into our hands, to take responsibility. You heard me say this before. We must claim responsibility for allowing this to happen, and then we have to figure out the way out of it. And they can continue doing their game. They'll be dealt with by the universe itself. We won't have to do a thing. But in the meantime, we have a responsibility to figure out where we're going. And not allow someone else to determine that for us. This is a free will universe. That doesn't mean that we can be crapped on just because that's their choice to do that to us. We don't have to accept that.
No, I fully agree with you. I mean, you know, we need to, and maybe you have found their Achilles heel, if you will. But we have a responsibility of spirit. And with spirit, I'm also talking about consciousness because it's a twofold thing. You've got the heart and the mind. And, you know, just from my own experience over the last 2.5 years when I awakened, yes, my consciousness has expanded immensely. Not to the point where yours is, obviously. You've been doing it longer than I have. But the bottom line is that once, I mean, it's a thrilling road to go down because once the dumbed down American public starts to do this, starts to realize that there's a whole different world out there, a world that is not being, a world they can create of their own, a world that they don't have to listen and be dictated to by these forces of evil with negative vibes, if you will. You know, they're fear-mongering all the time. And once you shake that, and the biggest thing is to shake the fear. Once you've shaken the fear, then your whole world opens up and the possibilities are endless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, what comes to mind while I was listening to you just now is that they, in their secret little plans, frequently allude to our ignorance and our desperation and those types of terms as if we're going to be begging them for a solution. Well, the solution is to get them out of office, to take away their power or get them to leave. Just convince them it's time to take off. You got a base set up on Mars, go there. Go spend the rest of your time there, you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And take all your perverted lawmakers with you. Take your perverted judges and attorneys, and it's not all judges and all attorneys, but the perverted ones I'm speaking about, the ones that are corrupt. Take them out, get them out of here. That's all. You're not wanted here anymore. The planet doesn't want you. That's obvious. They're choking the life out of this planet. They're choking the life out of the people. And what more power can they gain besides doing that? At least let them live amongst themselves and do their dirty deeds on each other just to see how it feels.
Well, power, though, is their aphrodisiac. I mean, they're squeezing the American people in so many different areas. They're squeezing them like a sponge. You know, look at the price of gas, for crying out loud. And I just heard George Bush. I ran across an article the other day that says there's no quick solution for the gas prices. Well, I guess not, because your coffers are being filled up by the fact that you're raping the American people and the truck drivers with the diesel fuel. Okay. And of course, there's no quick solution for it because you want the bucks to keep rolling in.
Well, you notice how their family historically has controlled the oil cartels or been a big player in the oil cartel. Now they're pushing for ethanol. George Bush failed to mention to the Rose Garden press gathering a week or so ago that Jeb is in Brazil trying to buy a big plot of land so that they can harvest sugar cane and turn that into ethanol. This is for their own pockets they're doing this, and they're using our money to do it.
Well, not only that, but, you know, the energy used to convert the corn or soybean, whatever it is they're using for the ethanol, actually, from what I understand, the limited research I've done, is equal to or even more expensive than the gas we're using now. So why bother? That's, I don't understand.
Well, it started, you know, they said, well, they're using 10% ethanol, and it's cheaper to make, and it's better for the environment. Why
it burns up your engine quicker.
Yeah, why does BP charge as much or more for 10% ethanol in their gasoline if it's cheaper to make ethanol, if it's better for the environment? Why do we pay more money for that? You see, that's if you buy your gas from them. And I recall Lindsey Williams' information that there is no energy crisis, that it was manufactured. The story was just another script that they're following while they shut down all of the fields that basically we pay for through these outrageous prices. The price of producing a barrel of oil is 80 cents right now. It, for many years, it was only 50 cents a barrel. Now it costs 80 cents. Where's the justification in charging over $120 a barrel? Where is that?
Yeah, according to Lindsey, who, you know, has walked with the elites and is, you know, he was a chaplain for the oil companies up there in Alaska, there's enough oil below the ground in Gull Island up there to supply the entire United States economy for the next 200 years.
Well, in 1973, a Sunoco tanker driver told me that Sunoco alone had refined gas to supply the United States for the next 100 years. That was just Sunoco alone. And that's an American oil company.
So look at the windfall profits that are being made by these oil companies. You know, and the price of oil right now is at, what, $123 a barrel or something of that nature. And then, of course, you know, there's a myriad of different directions I can go, because you look at the price of a barrel of oil, then you look at what the stock market's doing, and you compare that with the commodities market, and you're looking at the plunge protection team that's working overtime to manipulate it, because none of it makes any sense.
Yeah. And then, you know, you have this housing crisis. Millions of people are being foreclosed on their homes, being thrown out into the street.
Yeah, and you keep hearing the interest rates are going down. Bernanke cut the interest rates again, but they're not cutting it for the homeowner that is looking to purchase or refinance a house. As a matter of fact, the same interest rates, or the interest rates that they could have refinanced their home for 2 years ago, are higher now with the same bond yields that they were then, because the banks are raping the homeowners. While the interbank rates, where, you know, banks lending each other, have gone down, I think they're at 2% right now. Go ahead.
Well, all this ties into the corruption that's going down there in Maricopa County, and the money laundering that is really being orchestrated through the Justice Department nationwide. We used to think it was just Chicago. It's basically the whole nation, and it has an international component, because they're funneling these funds, which are in pure trusts, which are illegal, with judges and attorneys' names in these funds that they've set up. These are Fidelity funds, basically. You and I have talked about that in the past, and we've come to learn a lot more information. In fact, we know the names of the funds and who is signed on to these pure trusts. They're all judges and attorneys, and they're using fictitious names of the kids they abduct through the Child Protective Services, the domestic relations, the illegal impoverishment of these people who are fighting to get their kids back under false charges brought up by the
And by the way, let me insert the way this ties in. These same, you know, corrupt judges, politicians, and prosecutors and attorneys are, you know, they're cooperating and owning stock in Unicor, that is a privately funded. You can't own stock unless it's by invitation. And Unicor is the, you know, Wackenhut, the prison system. They're paying these prisoners. There's more prisoners in the United States now than there has been, well, in any country in the world. okay? They're paying these prisoners 23 cents to $1.15 an hour. They're competing with the businessmen and what they are manufacturing. It used to just be license plates, but it's not that anymore. And these politicians and the prosecutors are putting these people in jail for extended periods of time. They are raping them on their labor and then reaping rewards out of private stock that is owned, that they can own through Unicorp and Wackenhut. Yeah.
And now you mentioned Wackenhut. Do you find it a coincidence that Wackenhut has a security contract, not just for prisons? By the way, they're an Israeli company. And the nuclear power plants and even the secret underground bases. They have the security contracts for all of those. And they probably work hand in hand with companies like Blackwater. You know, we're talking about now mercenary companies that are overseas wreaking havoc.
Blackwater just received a $1 billion contract from Michael Chertoff's Homeland Security to go domestic. They're coming to a town near you, folks. And if you see what they're doing over there, taking pot shots at civilians, children blowing their heads off and laughing about it on some of the clips that I've seen on and then they have immunity to boot.
Yeah. And the soldiers are coming back here to the United States when they finish their tour of duty, and they're talking about the madness, the insane amount of killing, wanton killing that's going on, where these people just go in and shoot everybody up and say, well, they pulled a gun on us, or, you know. They're
getting paid five times as much as a soldier over there.
Yeah.
To do it.
Yeah. You and I talked about that. We did a show on that last year when this first came out. And that basically it's just hitting the mainstream, it's hitting the mainstream of the alternative press. Of course, you're not going to hear anything about this on mainstream TV, radio, or in the newspapers. This is just totally ignored, and they figure the dumbed down American public, if they don't hear about it, are not going to know, and they're going to think everything is fine while they're munching on.
Most of the dumbed down mind of Americans think, and they've got them brainwashed to think if they didn't see it on mainstream TV, it must not be true.
Mm-hmm.
And it's literally the exact opposite. If you see it on mainstream corporate TV, you could bet it's probably not true.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You know, and we've gone through 58 minutes now, and I still didn't get to talk about Naomi Wolf.
Well, go ahead.
No, I couldn't get it all in 2 minutes, my friend, so we'll just have to save that for another show.
All right. It's been a pleasure having you on, Michael, and after all this time especially. And, I want to have you back on, and I'm sure I'll hear from the listeners. And a lot of people listen to the archives because we are on at a late hour. But I get email from people that they're happy to hear about these things, even though they're scary. They say we have a sort of a reassuring way of letting them know that there are solutions, and I have been talking about solutions. As a wrap-up, what would you recommend the average listener out there that's hearing this, maybe not just the first time, but is still sitting on the fence? What do you recommend someone to do to be able to cope with some of the things that we're talking about?
First thing I tell people is don't believe us. Go research it for yourself. And then the main thing to do is educate yourself and get over your fear. Okay, because it's your fear that's going to stop you from expanding your consciousness and getting to a level where you have the confidence to educate your friends, neighbors, relatives, and so forth. Because the fact of the matter is that to stay dumbed down, to stay in that fear mode, is to keep your vibrational level down, and you will never expand your consciousness to a point where the solutions come to you. It's just like Paul McCartney and John Lennon used to say. They'd say, well, where do these songs come from that you guys write? They just come out of the air. Well, it's the same thing with an expanded consciousness. The ideas for solutions come out of the air, but they only come out of the air if you're receptive enough with your vibrational level high enough to be able to receive those ideas.
Yeah, and you got to think outside the box, and you've got to perceive with the heart. I like to say start thinking with your heart, and you'll be surprised what your mind might learn.
That's why they call me the discerner.
Yeah.
I discern and I screw up all the time, but that's still my name. That's my email address. But anyway, yeah, hey, listen, it's been a quick hour. And
time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it?
Yeah, we had a good time, didn't we?
Yeah.
And now, when's this article supposed to come out, Don, really?
Well, you know, they publish, you know, around mid-month. So we're looking at, you know, by the end of next week, around that time, it'll be out. And
All right, so can I so I get to pencil you in as a guest, and I get first crack at you then, right?
Yeah, yeah, we can do that. I'm on Rick Adams' show tonight, by the way, but we're not going to be talking about the salient points. Let's put it that way.
You mean tonight? Oh, that's right. It's tomorrow morning where you are. I'm sorry. No, it's still nighttime
well,
in my house.
Friday night.
Let me write that down so I make sure I'm not listening. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right. I'm doing his show, and then I have like an hour to catch my breath, and then I'm back on here again with Jim Murray. But I'm looking forward to that because I have a lot of respect for what Rick is doing. He's another one of those patriot voices. He's also a very well-studied Christian. He knows his Bible inside and out, and he's up with the history, too. He's a great historian, and he brings a lot of level-headed thinking, just in-your-face stuff, not just with his guests, but in his own manner of understanding and imparting that information, that knowledge.
Oh, no, I agree with you. He's a great talk show host, and as a matter of fact, I listened to him tonight. He had Dr. Kasim Khalil on, which I've had on my show a couple times, and always brings valuable information to the table, you know, and he's a joy to listen to.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, when I'm not on the air, I'm a listener.
Well, yeah, that's true. And you know that about me, too. I mean, that's how we learn. We have to keep up with what's going on. And, you know, people don't have to do this all day long. If they devote an hour a day to it, they'll be amazed at what they learn. And, you know, because it's sometimes so difficult to grasp as a possibility because so many people are in denial doesn't make it not be so. And the point I'm making is if you're afraid to look at something because it's too scary to imagine that it might be real, you've got a lot of catching up to do. And we just want to, and Michael has suggested, don't take what we say as the truth. Do the research yourself, and you're going to come to a point where you're going to say, there's got to be something to this. This can't be a coincidence. This can't be an accident that all these people know this much about this stuff. I made such a comment on my show last night in my introduction regarding an email I got. A wife is upset about chemtrails, and her husband's solution was, don't look at them.
You've got to be kidding me.
As if that's going to make them go away. Okay? And I basically said, you know, you want the person that came forth on my show to do all the work for you. He brought you a solution. You have a responsibility to take care of yourself. Are you gonna ask my guests to come over and brush your teeth and comb your hair? you know, and I'm not belittling anyone. I'm just saying, when are people gonna take personal responsibility? They're so used to everyone else doing it for them that they have become totally disempowered.
Yeah, but you know what? What they don't realize, especially in this country, Don, is freedom isn't free. They think that, you know, this stuff was all handed to them by their forefathers, and they think that it's going to be this way forever. And what they don't realize is that it's already 7 of the 10 of the amendments, the Bill of Rights, has already been stripped out from under them, and they don't even know it.
Well, yeah, it's been done illegally, though, and even though they think they've done it legally, it's been done illegally. Theft is theft, okay? Just because it's a president and a vice president and a secretary of the treasury stealing the money doesn't make it legal. And we know that it's being done, and there are going to be consequences for it, whether they like it or not. They made their bed, now they can sleep in it. Now, you can take your tinfoil hat off now, Michael.
Okay. All right. Here it comes. Coming off right now. All right.
Thanks for being on the show. I want to, again, tell the listeners, if you'd like to listen to Michael Herzog on the airwaves, he is on Republic Broadcasting from, I'm going to give the central times here for your sake, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday on republicbroadcasting.org. The show is called The American Awakening, as is his website, theamericanawakening.org. Pay it a visit. You're going to find some interesting things there. Michael has really world-class guests on his show, and he knows a lot of topics. He does a lot of research himself. He found out the hard way that you cannot guest one of these radio shows without doing your homework. And I'm sure you'd agree, Michael.
Absolutely. I've considered it an honor to be, you know, elevated to the airwaves, and I've had the privilege of interviewing some very, very well-known people, and I've learned a lot, you know. And again, that helps to expand our consciousness.
Yep, that's all right. Well, Michael, I look forward to the next time. We'll get you on again soon, and you owe me one now, so I guess.
I owe you one, okay.
I'm just kidding.
All right. All right, very good. All right, have a good night.
Okay. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. Our special guest tonight was Mr. Michael Herzog. Visit his website at TheAmericanAwakening.org. Also, pay my website a visit, DirectLightProductions.com. Got some new videos up there, pictures, articles, some news items. You can spend, according to some of my readers and listeners, you can spend months there and not see everything that's there. And I still don't have it where I want it to be, but there is a lot of information there. Special thanks to Don Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And we have some exciting news to share with our listening audience in the coming weeks and days. So you want to stay tuned for the massive improvements that we're making to the network. Also, we want to give special thanks to Mr. Seth Hendrick for a great job on the audio tonight. It was smooth as silk, Seth. And in the meantime, I want to wish everyone a very peace-filled, love-filled, and light-filled good night.
Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.